1 John chapter 4, we're going to read verses 7 through 12. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is our love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And while you're standing, let me read one verse to you. John chapter 14, verse number 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for what you've done for us. Now, Holy Spirit of God, would you please help us tonight? Lord, none of us are the person that we should be. We're all tainted and we're all hindered by sin. But would you allow the Holy Spirit to do his work? May we open our hearts. May we yield our mind and our spirit to you so that the Holy Spirit can do his work tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Tonight's sermon is called, How Do We Prove Our Love? How do we prove our love? Now, tonight, as your pastor, I hate to admit this, I'll fail. Say why? Because when you preach on the love of God, there's no way human words could adequately describe the love of God. I know that the dauntless task before me, I will fail at. But I promise you, this is the topic I love to preach most. I preached on hell a few weeks ago. I'll be honest with you, I hated it. I don't enjoy preaching on hell. I don't enjoy that part of preaching, but it's preaching the whole counsel. I must do it. But I love talking about the love of God. The love of God moves me. The love of God stirs me. It's my motivation. I guess I'm a little different. I know there's a hell. I'm glad I'm not going there. I'm glad that 43 years ago I got saved and never had to worry about it. Not going to have to worry about it. Heaven's my home, and hell I'll never see or have to worry about. But I'm telling you, I'm more motivated by the love of God than I am fear of hell. There's just something about the most overwhelming, most sobering thought to me is God loves me. Whew, Brother Gus, I never want to get over that. Never want to get over the fact, if you get so old you can't sing Jesus loves me and it doesn't move you, something's wrong with your heart. Something's wrong with your heart. Now, tonight, I'm going to start in a place that may seem odd, but if you'll give me a few moments, I can help you. Life is full of rules. Have you ever noticed the older you get, how many more rules you have to follow? You see, there are rules for board games. There are rules for taxes. Even some the government doesn't even write. There are rules where you work. There are rules for driving. There are rules for marriage. There are rules that you have at your home. There are rules at school. There are rules for sports. There's rules for hunting. Virtually everything you do in life have rules attached. I thought of bringing in all the different rule books just for the sports. I didn't have enough room in my pulpit to hold them all. God knows there's not enough room on the pulpit to hold all the tax laws. Amen. And you think about the number of rules you must follow. Of course, I've had three children, and I'm just about done teaching the third one to drive. Shortly, she'll be taking her full-blown license and taught her to parallel park this week. Boy, is that always a fun part of the experience. But she did well, amen? I always wait till do that last. You say, why? So that my nerves can handle it. I don't know about theirs. But did you ever realize that life is just one rule after another? Now listen to me. Really, people don't have problems with rules. We're used to them. Here's the problem. People have problems because they don't obey the rules that they don't want to follow. They don't obey the rules they don't want to follow. And when they get caught not following rules, they either want to blame the rule or blame the enforcer of the rule. Now, your whole life, by the way, you could be driving the speed limit all the way home except the last block, and then you decide you're going to break the speed limit and get a ticket, and then you're going to get mad at the officer because you're only a block from home. He didn't know where you live. Why is it his fault? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you do. Brother Gus, are you testifying? Oh, for your wife. All right. She's about to enforce the rules of home shortly. Amen. You will be out with the cattle tonight. Now, wait a minute. Rules are not bad. Rules are needed to bring order and to bring peace, to bring productivity, and to bring safety to life. If you hate the driving rules in America, go drive in Tijuana, Mexico once. Amen, Brother Gus? That is called suicide. There is only one place worse that I've been. That's Monterrey, Mexico. Lord have mercy. I got off an airplane in Monterrey and the missionary started driving us. Lord have mercy. Brother Stoltz, you know what I'm talking about. They say they have driving laws in Mexico. Don't believe them. It's bad. I mean, it's horrible. You say, well, they do have separate lanes. Yeah, but they don't know which direction to go in them, and they go whichever direction they want in them. And I'm not kidding. Either side of the freeway. It gets real exciting. Now, wait a minute. Have you ever noticed that people's biggest complaint about Christianity? All those rules. Rules, rules, rules. All those thou shalt and thou shalt not. You couldn't live all those rules and have fun. Boy, if I've not heard those 100,000 times in my life, I'd be shocked. Oh, there's no way I'd be a Christian. You can't have any fun. You have to follow all those rules. Now, wait a minute. You have to follow rules in everything you do. Did you realize that in all rules, there are built-in, and I'm going to use the word punishment here. It's probably not the right word, but it'll get you thinking with me. Did you realize that in every rule, there are built-in punishments for not obeying or breaking a rule? My family, we've played a lot of board games in life. Scrabble and Skippo and Uno and you name it, Battleship and all those other things. You realize that if you break a rule, there are punishments in a game. Fellas, I was watching a ball game. I got to watch a ball game here recently, and I haven't seen this happen in professional sports in a long time, but a pitcher got called for a balk. He got so frustrated with the catcher that the catcher wasn't laying down the call he wanted, and he had already come to a partial set position that went in his frustration. He just walked forward, which is a balk. And the runner advanced. Now, that was a punishment for breaking a rule. If you break a rule in the business world, usually there is a financial punishment attached. Some of you men that drive, if you're driving a truck and you get a speeding ticket, it's not your boss's responsibility to pay for it. He didn't tell you to speed. Say, well, I think, well, it doesn't matter what you think, that's your responsibility. Everybody understand that? man, do I feel like I'm in an island all by myself right now. By the way, it's been 25 years since I got my last speeding ticket, amen? I got it on my way to my wedding 25 years ago and haven't gotten another one. Say, why? Because I keep the speed limit now. Now, wait a minute. In business, it is financial usually. In sports, it is you'll either move farther from the goal or there's an advantage to the opposing team. There's many different punishments built into sports rules. In driving, it's either a fine, a loss of driving privilege. It could be a multiple of issues depending on what you do. But there's often something associated with you break the rule, there is a punishment involved. Now, listen with me. Why do people seem to blame God for enforcing his rules? Why is it that people blame God when he enforces his rules? Now, listen to me very carefully. John chapter 14, verse number 15 reads, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." God says, you show me you love me by how you obey my rules. Now that puts a little different spin on it, doesn't it? We know how much God loves us. By the way, God always follows his own rules. God never breaks his word. God always follows that book. By the way, the will of God is always based on that book, not your feelings. Say why? Because he won't break his rules. Now listen to me very carefully. This is always the case. Do you know I show my wife how much I love her by obeying the laws of marriage and the rules for marriage? If I walked up and started hugging and kissing and holding hands with every woman in this church, am I following the rules of marriage? No. So as I obey the rules of marriage, I show her how much I love her. Does that not make sense to you? Okay. Listen to me very carefully. Children, you need to realize as you obey mom and dad, you are showing them you love them. Parents, you need to teach your children obedience equals love. And the contrawise, disobedience means you don't love. My children, when they were little, oh, they hated this. They would rather get beat than go through this lecture. I'd look at them and say, I can't believe you hate daddy. I don't hate you, I love you. No, you don't, you disobeyed me. No, I love you. No, you don't, you hate me. God said if you love me, you'd obey me. But I love you, daddy. No, you don't. You didn't obey me. Oh, you talk about breaking hearts. That does it. Boom, real quick. Let me ask you a question, boys and girls. Do you love your mom and dad enough to obey them? I wish you could sit on my side of the desk when you break their hearts. Find out how bad it really hurts them before you screw your life up. You know, that's where you get into this creativity. Teenagers are wonderful at this. But by the way, some of you at work are just as good at this. You try to find creative ways to go around the rules. You try to cut corners. Well, it didn't say I couldn't do that. Everybody doing all right? Man, I feel like I'm meddling, not preaching tonight. You know, why is it so hard for us just to accept the rules? If the speed limit's 70, you don't do 75 because you know that the officer's going to give you 5-mile-an-hour grace. That's still breaking the rule. You know, if he gives you a ticket for doing 71, he's right. Just so you know. Say, well, that's not fair. It might not be fair, but it's just. Don't get mad at him. I can't believe that officer was sitting there. He shouldn't have been sitting there. You shouldn't have been speeding. Who cares? Man, I found out. I got a coon in the tree. We better park here a while, amen? Now, wait a minute. You know, you prove your love by following the rules. God said, if you love me, keep my commandments. By the way, it's more than thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. It's more than those 10 that you know. And most of you couldn't name all 10 of them. Tonight I want to show you how we can prove our love for God and our love for one another. 1 John chapter 4, you're there. The Bible says in verse number 7, "Beloved, let us love one another." Now look at me for just a second. Does that sound like a request? Does God say, "I think it's a good idea for you to love one another"? No, he said, "Beloved, love one another." By the way, that's a command. That is a command. But I want you to notice something else. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Point number one, God is the source of all love. God is the source of all love. You cannot know love, nor can you love if you reject God. By the way, that's why Christians are not supposed to marry lost people, because lost people cannot love you, because God said you have to be born of God and know God to have love. By the way, just because they're saved does not mean you should be dating or marrying them either. God said not only are you to be born of God, but they're to know God. Did you catch that? Well, they said they're saved. Good. Are they living the good Christian life? Are they obeying God? If not, sweetheart, he's not going to make you a good husband. But I just love him. So he's not going to love you so, because he's not right with God, because God is the source of all love. You see, loving yourself, let me rephrase that. Doing it your way is not good enough for God. Well, if God can't accept my good works, then too bad. Guess what? It's too bad. Go to Genesis chapter 4. Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. Cain brought of the sacrifice of the ground. Abel brought of a blood sacrifice as God commanded. Now watch this. God said, "Cain, I don't have respect for you, nor do I have respect for your sacrifice. I told you this is how you obey me. Now, Cain, if you'll obey me, sin lieth at the door." What he said there is a sin offering. There is a lamb crouched behind the door. All you have to do is open the door. It'll jump into your arms and you can give it to me as a sacrifice. Cain said, "God, I'll do it my way or no way." By the way, perfect picture of salvation. Jesus, as the Lamb of God, was there. He stands at the door and knocks. All you got to do is open it and he'll jump right into your heart. You know, rejecting the source of love means you're an imposter to God. Did you catch that? We have imposter Christianity out there. You have people running around, "Oh, we ought to love one another." And they're not even saved. They're not doing what God said. And it is not real Bible love. All love relationships hinge on the love of God and knowing God. Look at your Bible again, 1 John chapter 4. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Watch this. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Does it say that's only good for husbands and wives? Does that say it's only good for pastor and people? No. If there's any love relationship at all, it hinges on being born of God and knowing God. Now listen to this very carefully. Parents, by the way, let me help some of you parents with younger kids. Your children that are, and there is no such thing as an age of accountability. I believe in a time of accountability. It's different for each and every individual. Sometimes it's about 4 years old or five or six. Somewhere between 4 and 7 or so, children come to an age of knowingly knowing right from wrong and penalties and punishments associated with that. Until they can understand that, they're not old enough to get saved. You know, I could take a 2-year-old and teach them how to pray the sinner's prayer, but they're not saved. Just because somebody says a prayer doesn't mean they got saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made. Did you all catch that? Just because somebody recites a prayer, quit being Catholic about it. And I believe in soul winning. Soul winning, soul winning, soul winning, soul winning. I can get anybody in the world to say a prayer. That doesn't mean they're saved. And by the way, listen to my sermon this morning. I'm not a deeper lifer either. Amen? Parents, listen to me. I know the terrible twos, the tumultuous threes, the tornado threes, whatever they are. Can I tell you something? We've all lived through it. You say, I'm about ready to kill my child. We've all been through that. Can I tell you why? They're acting like a lost person, because they are. It's normal. Don't expect a 3-year-old to act like a 23-year-old saved person. Y'all doing okay? It's going to happen. Well, I'm just so embarrassed. Well, be embarrassed. So is the rest of us. We've been there. I've been there 3 times. 3 strikes, you're out. Amen. Glad to play baseball, not football. I'm not having 11 guys on a team. Amen. Oh, wait a minute. Parenting. Listen to this, parents. For you to love your children, you need to teach them to obey. If they're not obeying you, what chance do they have of obeying God? Oh, I used to tell my kids all the time, you can't even obey me. How are you going to obey God someday? If you won't even listen to the simple things that I have for you, how are you going to obey God someday? Oh, Daddy, I'll obey God. No, you won't. Not if you won't obey me. Some of you parents are going to destroy your children because you won't make them obey you, and they cannot love you because they're not obeying you, and they are going to hate God for it. Children, boys and girls, every one of you, look at me right now. You are supposed to obey your mommy and your daddy. You show them that you love them by obeying them. When you disobey mommy and daddy, you are saying, I don't love you. I can't imagine a child looking at their mother and saying, I hate you. Oh, my soul. I'm 47 years old. My mama's sitting right back there. And to this day, I still love my mama. Now, may I say this? Don't you ever tell your mommy and your daddy that you hate them. Oh, I'd never say those words, preacher. No, but you are every time you disobey them. Every time you disobey them. At the littlest thing. Y'all doing okay? Some of you friends need to start loving each other by helping each other obey God, not disobey God. Quit the gossip. Quit the little clicky stuff. Quit sharing the wrong things with each other and start obeying God together. Instead of spending so much time on your social network, why don't you meet and go soul winning? Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. How about your marriage? Some of y'all need to start obeying each other in marriage. Fellas, you promised to love her in sickness and in health, in poverty and wealth, forsaking all others. That means looking at them too. Everybody doing okay? Hello. Ladies, you promised to love him through thick and thin. It was thin when you got him. It's thick now. Amen. I thought that was pretty good. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Some of us need to decide we're going to love them, whether they're easy to love or not. You chose them. There was something there that you loved. You better continue to love them. Boy, that's a good statement. I'm just going to say this. I'll love you no matter what. You don't have to obey me. I'll love you whether you want to be loved or not. I'll promise you that. Can I tell you something? You're going to need to love me sometimes when I'm not as obedient as I should be. Say why? Because I'm a sinner just like you are. I may not treat you exactly the way you want to be treated. There's sometimes I might have to get firm with you. I can't believe preachers did that. Well, you might not believe it, but every once in a while, preacher got to do what his preacher's got to do. And if I'm wrong, God will take care of it. Don't worry about it. By the way, this is why America is in such bad shape, because we've gotten away from God. The farther America gets away from God, the farther away America gets from obeying God it increases the evil, the violence, the filthiness, the vileness that we have in our country. Before they took God out of the schools, they didn't have armed guards in the schools. I rest my case. Number two, love is satisfied in giving, not getting. Love is satisfied in giving, not getting. 1 John chapter 4, we were there. Look at verse 9. In this was manifested that the love of God toward us, notice, toward us. His love was manifested in that he gave it to us. Because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Hello. His love was not based on us loving him back. There is a verse in Psalms that says, God reigneth upon the just and the unjust. You know that God feeds people that hate his ever-loving guts? Say, that was crude. It might be, but it's true. God feeds and reigns life-giving substances to those that even deny his presence. God proves his love in his giving. Let me ask you a question. By the way, 1 Corinthians 13:4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. You know, your goal as a parent should not be that your little junior and your little juniorette love you, but that you love them. And it should be your goal to teach them to love somebody else. I mentioned my son Josh getting married here in a few weeks, and let me say this very carefully. I'm excited for him. I'm excited for my daughter-in-law, Ruth Ann. Can I tell you something? I've told both of them this week. I hope 25 years from now, you're as happy as my wife and I are. I want that for my kids. How about you? Now, I tease my daughter. She's not getting married till she's 40. But I don't want to pay the bills that long. So I got to find some. Anyway. But, you know, a parent wants their child to obey, not so that their child can receive love, but so that their child can learn how to love. You know, I want my daughter to learn how to love her husband one day by how she loves her dad and her mom and her God. You know, you teach your children to love your spouse by teaching them to obey and to love you. Oh, a few years ago, one of my boys was, his mom was going through a little tough time. And I looked at him. And they weren't at odds with one another, but there was just a little strain, just the tiniest. And he said, Dad, I want to fix it. What should I do? I said, take your mom on a date. He looked at me. He said, no, that's weird. I said, no, it's not. I said, just take her out and take her to lunch one day. I said, just prove to her you could love her. He did. Man, he came back. He got alone with me and he said, Dad, wow, that really worked. I said, son, I just taught you a very valuable lesson in life. He started thinking on that thing. About 2 or 3 days later, Brother Gus, he came back and he said, Dad, I'm going to need that one day, aren't I? I said, if you find some dumb woman going to marry you, you will. She's dumb enough to marry you. You better learn that one real good there, dude. He caught it. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Teach your children that love and obedience go together. Love and obedience go together. You know, I didn't teach my children to obey just so I could be king of the house. Good night, that's stupid. I taught my children to obey so, number one, they would listen to God. Number two, they would listen to other authority when I was not there. And number three, so that one day they could love their spouse. Boy, that's good. Can I tell you something? Teach your children that disobedience and hatred go together. Disobedience and hatred go together. Now, folks, I know what I'm talking about. Brother Mark, you and I were talking just today. Young man, this town, this week, stabbed 5 people. When he was a teenager, he killed somebody. They let him go because he was a juvenile. He had a school administrator tell the family, if you don't get this child under control, he'll spend the rest of his life in prison. Guess what? They didn't listen. His disobedience, he's now facing life in prison. I could take you to time after time after time after time. Folks, don't get mad at your children. Teach them that disobedience is hatred. By the way, did you ever see a child disobey with a good spirit and a great attitude? Did you ever see a child disobey out of love? Disobedience and hatred work hand in hand. By the way, parents, don't lie to your children. Don't candy coat it. Don't sugarcoat it. Everybody doing okay? You're brutally honest. Yes, I'm brutally honest with my kids, but guess what? Welcome to life. Welcome to life. God is not selfish. When he says he wants us to love him, he wants us to love him because he wants us as happy as he is. My future daughter-in-law, Ruth Ann, she knows my wife and I love her already. She doesn't have to do anything to be loved. Say why? Because she's part of the family. She's part of the family. She texted me this last week and she said, Dad, I never thought I could be accepted by a family so fast. Thank you for making it easy. I love that. I said, that's pretty easy. I said, if my son loves you, God bless you. I said, I think I love you more than him. I know him better. I said, I know what lies ahead for you. And she, of course, we were joking back and forth with it. Those of you that know my son know I'm not totally kidding. Wait a minute. Isn't that what God said we should do? We should, by the way, don't let this on the tape, Brother Brett, because I'm not kidding. Do you know that back in the late 1990s, I was working with Brother Hiles. We would go to pastor school, and we would run pastor school, and I would, no lie, I would kiss my family goodbye on a Sunday morning, and I would not see them again till Friday. There was moments I would see them as we sat in the crowd, and I would put 20, 21 hours a day in for 6 days solid. I wrote my children notes every day and left it for my children. I remember one year I wrote my son Josh a note and I said, son, I'm sorry I don't get to spend time with you like I normally do this week. The work Daddy's doing is the most important in the world. This is what I said. I said, your future wife's pastor is sitting in this room probably. Daddy's going to do all he can to make sure that pastor raises your future wife one day so that you have a good godly wife to marry. Can I tell you something? My daughter-in-law's pastor was sitting in the room the year I wrote that and raised my future daughter-in-law for my son. I don't know about you. I don't get cold chills, but they're running up and down my spine right now. Can I tell you something? That's what God said we should do. You know, people don't like Christianity if they're not saved. People don't like Christianity if they're not obedient. Christianity gets a bad name. Listen to this statement. Christianity gets a bad name when it's the if it feels good, do it mentality. This non-denominational hodgepodge, let's have rock bands and let's have praise and worship services and flip and flop and come to church dressed in your pajamas and just come as you are, and the preacher gets up and sucking on the cigarette and all the other garbage that goes on with that trash. Can I tell you something? People hate that as Christianity. That gives Christianity a bad name. Well, we want to become like them. We'll reach more of them. No, God doesn't say become like the world. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And lastly, who should we love? Who should we love? God said, beloved, let us love one another. God said, let us love one another. Can I tell you something? That means save people. That means lost people. That means people you know. And that means people you don't know. Let me ask you a question. This might shock you. I spent time in my office this morning and I wept for people in Iraq that are being killed by this ISIS group. I realized the people being killed are as against God as the people killing them. But you know what? My heart hurt for them. They all need God. Can you hurt for people you don't know? Can you love people you don't know? You know, and please don't take this the wrong way. Sir, it's not hard for you to love your wife. You know her. It's not hard for you to love your kids. Let me ask you a question. Do you love people that hate God? Do you love somebody you don't even know? Thank God for Brother Jimmy. Loved a man that he worked with and got to lead Bob to the Lord. Had a son that's dying, 28 years old. And Jimmy worked with him and he said, preacher, he said, I'm just burdened for him. Went and visited him, won him to Christ. And Bobby died and went to heaven. You know, Bobby's in heaven because a man that loved somebody he worked with. And 23 more people got saved at the funeral because Jimmy loved somebody. Can I tell you something? That's what real Bible love's all about. Boy, that's big stuff. Do you know you're supposed to love fallen people? And let me throw my once a month tirade. I am so sick and tired of people that say, well, if somebody messes up in the church, you've got to get up in front of everybody and tell them all the bad things you did, you Pharisee. You filthy, vile pig. Sorry, swine. Telling everybody the sin you did wrong, what good does that do anybody? Because all that is you having to spread your own gossip. You better be glad God doesn't do that with you. He said your sins are buried in the depths of the sea. You'll never be judged for them if you're saved, and you don't have to confess them. God says, well, confess your fault one to another. It says faults, not sins. If I do something and it's my fault that I hurt Brother Smith, I'm supposed to go to Brother Smith and say, Brother Smith, I blew it. It's my fault. I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to get up in front of everybody and say, folks, I blew it. I did this. And Brother Smith, I need you to forgive me. Come up here and hug me. Gag. Don't you dare hug me. Don't worry. I wasn't worried about it either. Can I tell you something? That's filthy. That's vile. We borrowed that from the charismatics. We borrowed that from the Catholics. I'm not the Pope and neither are you. And by the way, neither is he. Do you know you're supposed to love people that are down on their luck? If you can help somebody, help them. Now, be careful. Be wise. I don't think the guy on every corner that says, veteran, need help, homeless, that you ought to give them $100 every time you drive by. If somebody needs some food, and you have a few bucks in your pocket, get them some food. Now, don't give them the few bucks or they're going to buy drugs and cigarettes and booze. But if they're hungry, feed them. If they need help, you help them. Well, I know somebody and they know better and they shouldn't have done it. Why is it that we'll go out, knock on somebody's door, win them to Christ, bring them to church. We don't know their past, and we say, boy, look at what God did with this sinner. But you let one of our kids that grow up in church do something wrong, and bless God, they know better, and they're not welcome here anymore. Well, God pity you. That's not Christianity. I'm not afraid to say it. By the way, you Pharisees, wait till your kids blow it, and we'll find out what you really want to believe. Do you know God said you're supposed to love your enemy? Do you know you can love somebody but not trust them? Do you know I can love my enemy, but that does not mean that I have to have lunch with them every day? You know, I can love snakes, but I don't want to handle them. Cut their head off and skin them and turn them into boots. I could really love them, amen? But that doesn't mean I got to trust one. Do you know that soul winning is loving God by giving the gospel to people who God loves that he wants to win so that they can love him back? By the way, the only hope America has if the Christians would get up off their blessed assurance and go out and take the Bible everywhere and get as many people saved and get them righteous. You have to obey God to prove your love. By the way, let me just say this and I'll be done with it. That's why I love our Dorcas ministry for our ladies. It's a way for you ladies to say I love you to somebody and do something. It doesn't have to be big. Just a little encouraging note. One of our children tonight brought me a picture that they made today. You know what? That encouraged me. That was a child saying, preacher, I love you. I don't know about you. That encourages me. She did a better job drawing than I can. Can I tell you something? The Dorcas ministry is a way for you to show your love to somebody and not get attention for it. Do you know how fun it is to love people when they don't know you're the one doing it? Do you know one of my bitterest enemies? Recently, I found out they had a need, and I met their need, and they don't know I did it. I'm having fun. They don't know the person they hate helped them. You say, would you do something to help somebody that hates you? Yeah, I really would. I really would. You know, ladies, when you work in the nursery, it's a way to love God. Fellas, helping in the parking lot, greeting at the doors, helping with special music, helping clean the buildings. Mrs. Debbie Hess cleaning these buildings. She tells everybody in this church she loves them. Good night. You could eat off the commodes in our church. They're so clean. Don't come on Monday or Friday because you'll be bleached to death. But don't stand still if you're here. Now, wait a minute. She loves our people by making sure everything we have is clean and sanitary. Thank God for people like that. Take Brother Ron Kisner. He's probably going to get mad at me. You didn't know this, but he straightens out these chairs. He puts all the songbooks back in the songbook racks twice a week that you don't put away. Vacuums the floor in here. Say why? Because he loves y'all. He wants to make sure God's house is the right way. I won't mention a name. There's a man in this church every week comes and cleans our van, make sure it's full of fuel, make sure that it's ready to go on every trip that it goes out on. Say, what is that? He's loving God and loving people he hasn't even met yet. Whew. That's big stuff. That's big stuff. Let me ask you a question. How much are you obeying God? Boys and girls, some of you need to hit this altar tonight because you've been disobedient to your mommy and daddy and you're disobeying God. Some of you need to learn to love your mom and dad by learning to obey them. Parents, some of you need to decide you're going to quit complaining about your boss and start obeying your boss. Maybe he wouldn't be the tyrant you think he is if you'd start obeying him. I just don't see why all these stupid... You don't have to see why. Just obey him. You're the one that took the job, not him. My dad told me, first job I got, he said, son, you sure you want to work there? Yeah. He said, I never want to hear a complaint about what you're making because you're agreeing to it. He said, first time you complain about your wages, he said, you and I are going to have troubles. He said, you're the dummy that agreed to it, not him. You know, I never forgot that. You know, I've never one time complained about my wages ever. Ever. Say why? My dad's still alive. He'll still slap me, amen. He's sitting right back there. Whoop me upside the head. He said, don't you ever complain. But dad, I'm working extra. You're the one that agreed to it. Don't worry about it. He said, it'll balance out. Don't worry. The boss will take notice. Just keep on working. Can't tell you how many times I have received raises in my life and I've never asked for one. Can I tell you why? You just keep doing what you're supposed to do. It'll all work out, I promise you. And by the way, I didn't always work for saved bosses. God's keeping score. Let me ask you a question. How much do you love God? How much are you obeying Him? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. You prove your love by your obedience. You prove your love to God. You prove your love to your children. Some of you mamas and daddies ought to hit this altar and decide you're going to teach your children to love you by teaching them to obey you. Some of you children need to hit this altar and decide you're going to prove your love to your mom and dad by proving you're going to obey them. And all of us ought to decide we're going to choose to prove to God we love Him by our obedience to Him.